morning, everyone. Now, that's not a good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
In the Middle East, the women ululate when we say good morning because they are excited. I don't want you to be excited about me here, but I want you to be excited about Jesus. Yeah, that's the one really that all of us know, experienced, and after 2,000 years, we still preach from the same word and preach almost the same stories. And still changes generations after generations. And I hope when I pass on the baton to other people, God will continue to bless the next generation. But folks, there will be no next generation if we don't pass it on. It takes one generation for Christianity to be gone. Only one generation per family. If it's not passed on, the next generation would not know the Lord. You know the politics here. I know the politics. I don't preach about the politics. But people work things out so they can tell whatever ideology they want to tell their people. And whatever ideology they want to share with those in universities and colleges and schools. And in America, every Tom, Dick, and Harry has an ideology. And we hear it all the time. It's different. I'm not condemning it. But there's only one ideology. There's only one true faith that is in Jesus Christ. I work with different faiths, folks. I work with different people who have all kinds of ideas. Even lately, some Christians who said everything is true. And they call it actually kind of a nice name to it. And it's called the elephant theory. How many of you touched an elephant or saw an elephant? All of us, pretty much, isn't it? Why is it called the elephant theory? Because some of us touched the elephant trunk. Some of us touched the elephant ear. Some of us touched the elephant leg. All of us are touching the elephant. So all people have truth. Okay, there's only everybody's the truth is according to them. But we're all somehow touching the truth. That is not true, folks. I don't want to teach heresy here, but that's not true. There's only one truth. I am the truth. And actually, the book of John is really the one that talks about who is that I am, Jesus. I hope to turn this on so I could show you a couple of pictures that I wanted to show you. Okay. This is a map of the Holy Land. I'm going actually in 2 weeks to teach in Bethlehem Bible College. And you can see the Judea. North of it is Samaria to the left there, and then Galilee. It's interesting, folks, that when the Jews wanted to go through, they did not go north. Okay? Okay. Alrighty. I guess it's not. Here we go. So they go around, across, and come back like a certain highway around Detroit. I lived in Detroit, folks. To avoid some areas, they did not want to share with the Samaritans or talk to the Samaritans or touch the Samaritans or anything that the Samaritan touch. So they go around it. Some of you might think, these are the Samaritans, by the way, and they still live. They still live there, actually. And they live right next to Jacob's well. In what we call the present city, it's called Nablus. And this is what they wear, and guess what? They still sacrifice. Even till now. The Jews don't because they don't have the temple, but the Samaritans do. So even till this time, they still wanting to say, we are the Samaritans, and Jesus visited us. The true Lamb visited with them. Can you imagine here, and here's what I would like to share with you. If you read the scripture with me, and now it's the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, please turn to that. Why am I saying the Gospel? Because In the place where I work, we don't have four gospels. We have only one gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. Because some people accuse us of having four gospels. They're all separate and different and they don't agree with each other. We only have one gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you wanted to know more about this, I will tell you. Outside of the sermon. Verse 4 here. Chapter 4, verse 4. This is very fascinating. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. What in the world would make Jesus have to do anything? No one could tell him what to do. He's the Son of God, isn't he? He can do whatever he wants to do. But why is it mentioned he had to go through Samaria? That means he did not have to avoid Samaria. The one before that. He did not have to avoid Samaria. He wanted to go through it. So instead of going for 95, isn't it? Or 65? He goes through Detroit. He does not go around it. He went through it. He knew what the people say about the Samaritans. We hear that, by the way, by other religion, that Christians are sinful. You should not touch a Christian or even eat with a Christian or touch whatever the Christian. Somebody said, without mentioning his name, that even the urine of the Christian is not good. It's sinful. Have you ever heard those things? So people look at us as Christian like the Samaritans. So Jesus had to go to Samaria. Why? Verses later tell you that he wanted to reach the Samaritans. He wanted to reach the Samaritans. Why? Because he loved the Samaritans too. Because he was hungry, but his hunger was more for the souls than for the food. I have a problem with food, folks. I love to eat. I've been in 70 countries, and I love to eat. I just like to try anything. I don't have to eat it again, but I love to eat. And I want you to think of that imagery. I love to eat. Some of you love what? Pizzas. Some of you love hamburgers. Some of you love other things. You see how excited when you get the stuff that you love to eat? I tell you, when I travel, the first thing I want to eat when I come back is a good American hamburger. I look forward to it the first day when I come back after traveling, eating all kinds of food. That's the desire that God wants to put in our heart for the lost ones. To be excited about sharing who we are with them. To look forward to sharing Christ with them. We have, I don't know if that's an old expression and has changed now, but what we call the black sheep of the family, don't we? Each one of us has a black sheep. In your immediate family, in your extended family, even your kids, sometimes we have a black sheep in the family. Sometimes we say, you know, I could teach anyone, I could tell anyone, but this one, but Mike. Hopefully none of you are named Mike. Oops, sorry, Mike. I could share with anyone but Rebecca. I know there's one of you is Rebecca. Okay, all our family have that. We have someone, if anybody comes to the Lord but Uncle Tom, he would not come. Folks, God does not look at it this way. God goes after the ones sometimes who are the most naughty in our family. Because they will appreciate him sometime the most. Because their life was disaster and Christ has saved them from that. Remember, somebody who's really naughty. Someone who's really, maybe I don't know if I should say that in a public TV, but he was a terrorist. By the name of Paul. Was he a terrorist? Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because he was going after a religious group and making sure that they are killed for their faith. Is that religious terrorism? It is. He was a terrorist. And I'll tell you something. Some of you might disagree with me and they may not want me to come back again. I had a friend of mine who sent to his supporters, "Would you please pray for Bin Laden, that may the Lord bring him?" You know how many negative emails he received because he said, "May God take Bin Laden," or "May God get Bin Laden to save him and to bring him to Christ." If you read this email, what is your response? Is even Bin Laden the terrorist beyond salvation? If that is true, then Paul is beyond salvation. Then Uncle Tom is beyond salvation. I sit with some people who were terrorists and God got hold of them. And I can tell you stories after stories from Al-Qaeda, from other groups, that God got hold of them. And there was a place, and I won't say a country, that the person's job was to watch all these evangelists who come in to preach about the gospel and write down to make them a target to be assassinated. Because they are affecting the politics of that place. And he got the names, but he also got the sermons. He got to listen to all these evangelists, one after the other, coming in. And finally, he said, "I am not going to do this anymore. I am going to follow Jesus." So instead of planning to assassinate people, he planned to bring people to life. This is the Jesus that we're talking about. This is the Jesus who wanted to go to the Samaritans and bring them in and say, "Hey, I have to go to Samaria. To those places that you don't go to, I will go. To those people you don't think God will even reach, I will reach." Folks, in America, it's sad that we don't believe in miracles anymore. We have so programmed that only the miracle we have is only through scientific things. There's some scientific miracles we've seen. But there are biblical miracles. There are Christian miracles. We've seen them all around us. The church in the world sees miracles. People being cleansed. People being had cancer who get to be healed. In America, sometimes we don't believe in that Christ. We don't believe that Christ who said, "You will do even more than I do, didn't you?" Can I get the next slide, please? And that one, yes. So here's one of the questions that the pastor asked. Missionaries, folks, are you, not just me. As long as you have the knowledge and the good news, you have to share it. It's not an option, folks. It is not an option to share. It is a duty. You have to obey. When someone comes next to you and it's the right time, you share with them. Many of the time, folks, the problem is us, that we are reluctant to share Christ. Not that the people don't want to listen. I don't care, by the way. I went one time to a train going from Paris, from London to Paris. And I wanted to talk to a guy from Belgium. And I told him, "Can I share Christ with you?" That crushed me. Not really. That's okay. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't want to. Then I turned around to the other person. He said, "Yeah, let's talk." So these opportunities, even if the people reject us, that is fine. Maybe this is not the right time. Maybe I'm not the right place. How many of you work in the auto industry? Okay. Pastor Brown cannot go to these places because you have a car to enter with. Nobody can go in there except you. So if we can't go, who can tell them the good news? Who can go to the Samaritans at your work? Well, there's another issue here. And Jesus talks about this in here. Is it okay to share Christ even if I lose my job? This is a very real question here now, folks. We're living in this society now. Where sharing your faith could be in the future problematic, and even now could be problematic. The name they are giving to us. Oh, these radicals. Oh, these and those. Folks, I'd rather be a radical for Jesus to share the good news with those who need it than shut up and not say anything. You remember in Chicago, there was a group in Chicago in the old days, maybe our age. These were the rascals. These were the radicals. They call them the Jesus freaks. Maybe some of you young people, maybe you need to read a little bit about that history. They were the Jesus freaks. They didn't care. If they call them freaks, they can call them freaks. But to share Jesus Christ. And by the way, the Samaritan woman is interesting because she went there to get water. And usually, most of the women go not in the middle of the day when it's very hot. They go either very early in the morning or late at night, not very late, that they can see and be together. She wanted to avoid the women because she had a reputation. Okay, so this is strike one. She's a woman, that's one. And usually a Jewish rabbi does not talk to women. And alone in a place. Secondly, her reputation was not the best reputation. Thirdly, she was from a group of people that are shunned by the Jews. So Jesus had what? Three strikes against him. Any other strike? What else are the other strike? Any of you think about a strike that he has against him? He had a different tongue. It's a different language. Okay? Because they still have their own tongue, which is similar, but... So all of these were against Jesus. All these things could say, please don't. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Did Jesus listen to any of that? He would have been right if he said no. Within the cultural mandate that he has. He should have not have done that. But Jesus went through Samaria. And he met a woman. For me, she was a very smart woman. But sorry, ladies, she was a feisty one. Because she asked a lot of questions. And I'm getting in trouble here with the women. But women are meticulous. They ask questions. When I go to the airport, I don't go to a women booth. I used to go to a men booth because the women ask me a lot of questions. I'm saying it's wrong. I'm just saying they are meticulous. They ask a lot of questions. And the Samaritan woman asked a lot of questions. And actually, they were not questions. They were kind of hurdles to make Jesus fall down and slap on them. So he wants water. What did she say? You want a Samaritan to give you water as a Jew? The Jews never drink from the Samaritan, non-kosher Samaritan, water. We don't drink their water. So see the first thing? She's kind of putting one thing. Well, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Why are you bothering with me? Wonderful. Then what else did she bring? Worship. You worship here, we worship there. So, what is the issue? Can you give me the water? Yes, I can give you the water. But you don't have anything to get the water from the well. Logical, isn't it? She put the religious issues. She put the ethnic issues. She put the logical issues. You tell me you can give me water. How are you going to get the water from the well? Duh. that she was asking him that question. He did give her the water, but not the water that she wanted. The fascinating things, after all of that, she also said, by the way, well, maybe you're a good man, maybe you're a prophet, but are you better than our prophet? And he said, yes. Even more than that, they talk about, oh, they said that the Messiah is coming. And what did he say? The one who speaks to you, I am he. You know, usually Jesus did not tell people that he is the Messiah. Many people asked about it. He did not answer it. He told his disciples not to tell people yet. But he told the Samaritan woman that he is the Messiah. What happened? She took what he said. And she took what water, by the way? She left her jar behind. And she took the living water and went back. What happened to her? She became a missionary. Okay, martyrion witnesses. That's what we'd call the martyrs. Actually, the one who witnessed. She went and witnessed to her people. Now, remember her reputation? She really should have not gone back to tell the people knowing her reputation. But when Jesus heals, he heals and forgives even your bad reputation. He changes the people's perception of you because he changed you. For him, all your sins have been forgiven. She went back a new woman in Christ. A new woman in Christ. She's been changed. And shares, says, maybe that is the Messiah. Maybe that's the Messiah. Guess what happened? Some believed and some came to meet him and asked him to stay for 2 more days. Folks, the witness, the way you share Christ with other people changes lives. I have just received a couple of years ago, one of the people who wanted to kill me when I became a Christian was one of my best friends. After 41 years of becoming a Christian, I heard from a friend of mine, three of us were friends, and he's a doctor now, lives in New Zealand. And he said, by the way, do you know our friend such and such? I said, yeah, but I lost track of him after I left. And he said, he gave his life to the Lord. 41 years from the day he wanted to kill me to the day he gave me a hug when I met him again. Can Christ change lives even if you have to wait 41 years? Is your patience and faith can last that long that you trust that God will bring the people? Now I'll ask you as parents and grandparents, do you have that faith that you know that this grandchild who's given everybody a hard time will come to the Lord eventually? Do you pray for that child to come to the Lord? Folks, please share the good news. Not just with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors. Even if it's not the right thing to do nowadays. Even though it's not the political correct thing to do nowadays. I'm sorry, I'd rather be not politically correct, but correct according to Jesus. When people say, but you might end up to be in trouble. That's okay, I've been in trouble before. I've been in jail before. That's okay if I go to jail again. But here, I'm going to jail for what? For a good reason. And here's a story from China. A young lady who became a Christian in China. And guess what? And I'm going to talk about ladies today because I'm talking about the Samaritan women. Okay, so I'm kind of finding some illustrations that are similar. And her great job was to clean after the prisoners, even their whatever they do toilet-wise. That was her job, to clean up after them. Why? Because she became a Christian, and they put her in jail for that. Every time she cleaned up, she shared Christ with the prisoners. That was her job, to clean up and clean out and bring people to Christ. They finally set her free. She said, "Can I come back and volunteer and do the same job?" How many of you would do that? Volunteer to clean crap for Jesus Christ. That is weird, doesn't it? It's almost illogical for some of us. But she wanted to do that because she knew that God is using her as a cleaner for Christ. Can God use even you or me? Can God use us? With my respect to my brother and all the issues about abortion, are we providing, I know there's some institutions doing that, providing an alternative for young women? Are we opening our homes the same as Europe opened their home for the Ukrainian people? Can we open our home to those young women? Are we providing an alternative for them? Young men, we are part of that problem. It's not just a woman issue. It is our problem as men. Are we willing to shape up and grow up and take responsibility? We have an issue in all the churches in America with men. Not too many men are standing up for who they are. They're not standing up. We can't even have a men's Bible study in many of the churches in America. We need to step up. So Jesus came to the Samaritan woman via also the Samaritan men. So he wanted to reach all of the Samaritans. Are we willing to reach those among us, folks? I speak only a few words in mostly every language, a little bit more Spanish. You know, it's amazing when you get a Spaniard, it says, "Buenos dias. Dios te bendiga, hermano. May God bless you." And they say, "Oh, do you know Spanish?" "No, just poquito español. Hablo poquito español." And then we talk with the little English he knows and the little Spanish I know. It's always an opportunity. There's always an opportunity for us. One of the things I love, and I have to watch my time now, is getting in a plane. And I'm sorry, folks, when you go in my plane, it is about 8.5 hours minimum flight, either to get to Europe or 10.5 hours to go to Egypt, and 11.5 hours to get to Israel. So I'm sorry for the person who ends up sitting next to me. If you ever come to plane with me, maybe you should take the other seat. We talk. I talk. I ask them, "What's your name? Where are you from?" And one of these discussions was another woman. She was a well-dressed executive woman working for an insurance company, and she made millions of dollars with that insurance company. And she said, "Yeah, I've done a lot for that insurance company, but now I find out that I have cancer, and my own company wants to dump me before they cover my cancer." After all the millions of dollars that she made for them, they want to cancel her so they don't have to cover her insurance. She sells all this insurance that her own insurance, the company, doesn't want to sell. She was crying. She started to cry as we talked. Even the people that I spent all my life with, finally in the end, they abandoned me. What would I tell her? What would you tell her? Come to the one who does not abandon any. That is Jesus Christ. He would not abandon the Samaritan woman. He would not abandon you. He would not abandon anyone in the family, even if they are the black sheep of the family. Because he loves everyone. You remember that little song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. What a wonderful song. It is true. No matter who you are, just remember to sing that song. Jesus loves me, this I know. When I think like what they say in Northern England, that I'm ugly or ugly. I'm ugly. I always remember, Jesus loves me, this I know. That's what we share with people, that Jesus loves them. Jesus will never abandon them. And I'm not talking about emotions, folks. I have been in certain situations. I could have left God a long time ago. It was very difficult, and it could easier that I would leave the Lord. But I didn't, because I knew He would never abandon me. Remember the Psalms. God does not abandon His people. Again, all of us are called. All of us are called to share Christ. Many times the problem is ours, not others, because we don't know how. Sometimes we are reluctant. When I go out, I said, Lord, give me an opportunity to share Christ today. I don't know how. I don't know where. Monday I'm going to go fix the car tire. We're driving with a donut from Indiana. But even when I get there, I'm going to find a reason to share with the guy who's fixing my tire. It's an opportunity. It's always an opportunity wherever we go. Please take that opportunity. Do not be hesitant to do it. Even the terrorists, God brings to Him in many different places. Then and now. I have a friend of mine who's in New York now. He was a Palestinian terrorist. The Lord got hold of him. He went in the middle of Times Square and was yelling his heart out, Jesus loves you. Come to Him. He sent me a video. If you want me to send that to you, I will send it to you. That God changes. Still changes lives. God still brings people to Him. No one is beyond Jesus. And no matter what, you have to share the good news with others. Even if you say, no, we don't want it, that's okay. Others do. I'm willing to take to be refused or shut out to be able to share with someone else. That's okay. There's some people did not want Jesus, did they? They even crucified Jesus for what He said, didn't they? They didn't like the good news that He was bringing. God bless you. Remember, you are all missionaries. You are all witnesses to Christ. And God changes lives and never abandons people. Let us pray. Oh Lord, the end of the passage when the disciples came to You, they said, oh, maybe He did eat. Did You eat something for supper, Lord? Says, no. I am hungry for the souls. I'm hungry for the food, the spiritual food that God gives me. The whole Samaritan nation and all the nations in the world and all the people in America. He said also, the harvest is ready. Few of my farmer's friends in Indiana are harvesting now. Lord, are we ready to harvest? Are we ready to share Jesus with them and harvest? Or maybe not in our lifetime, Lord, somebody else would harvest after us. But at least God used us to share the good news with others. Thank you, Lord, for changing our lives. Thank you for changing my life to be a witness to you, to enjoy seeing you change my people's lives. And as we know, Lord, when they said, let my people go, you did let my people come to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.